a lost connection while conversing on the telephone. You know, you have your phone up here and all of a sudden, I don't think that other party's there anymore. And you look at it, no, they aren't there anymore. We've lost connection. There's that silence that takes place. You say, hello, hello. I'm sure you've had that happen to you, happen to me from time to time. Is that not like our prayers are from time to time when we have a connection has been broken between us and God? Seems like God isn't there. What's happened? It seems like our line to God has had an interruption. And we wonder, what happened? So the title today of this message is Keeping the Line Open. Keeping the line open. There are requirements that God has if we desire to keep a communication line open with our Heavenly Father. Number one, dialing in the correct number. You have to dial in the correct number. If not, you get the wrong party that you're looking for. This past week, my wife, we were down in Kentucky one evening, and she decided to call our oldest daughter, and she has it in her phone there on the menu, and she hit S and didn't take too much concern. All of a sudden, she's talking to one of her nieces. She says, oh, hello, Sharon. My wife had hit the wrong number instead of hitting Sheila. So we have to have the correct number in order to connect with God. Let's turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. For Christ is explaining to his disciples with regard to praying. He says to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are to call upon God, our Heavenly Father, that is who Jesus Christ tells us to pray to. We need to dial in to our Father God, His number to begin with. Matthew 23 and verse 9, where we read here, Christ tells us, we only have one Father. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 9, where Christ says, do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, He who is in heaven. You know, we call upon our Heavenly Father. We do not kneel before an icon nor pray to some human being that once lived, you know, as a saint or whatever. We're only to pray to the supreme being of all there is. The first and second commandments we have with regards to that. You shall have no other gods before me. And you shall not make yourself an idol. So we do have to pray to God the Father. Him only do we pray. And we can be blessed that we know that is what we are to do. That is who we look to for our the requests that we have and keep communication open. Notice what Paul says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2 through 4, where God the Father resides. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 12 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2. I know a man, this is regards to himself, but he doesn't say that as he. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Now he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So here Paul mentions about being there in the third heaven. And he talks about that there's no words to be able to describe what he did see. It says here, the inexpressible words. In other words, maybe they were not words. He didn't know how to describe the scene that he saw there in the third heaven when he became before God there at that time. So then, wouldn't have been God the Father, for we do know Christ did say, no one has seen the Father except he. So as he was up there in the third heaven with Jesus Christ at that time, our high priest. So then we know that is where God the Father resides. Acts chapter 7, verse 55. This is regarding Stephen. Acts chapter 7, and beginning in verse 55. You know, here we read, this is inspired scripture that we have here, that Christ has inspired to be for us to look at. Acts 7, verse 55. But he, and this is regards to Stephen now, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed in the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. So here's a description of what Stephen saw, that God allowed him to see before he was stoned to death. Third heaven, Jesus Christ, there at that time. So my, likely Stephen had seen Christ while Christ was here on earth in the flesh, and he recognized what he saw. It was not some image of something else, but he had seen Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Where the writer says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Yeah, we are to come to God the Father before that throne of grace, as it says here, and find grace in the time of our need when we are there. One thing is, we're able to come before our Heavenly Father at any time. You know, on our phones here, there's certain times, certain individuals you're unable to contact. Their phone is off. They do not want to be disturbed. But not so with our Heavenly Father. We can go to Him 24/7. Every day, every hour of our lives. In our Father's presence, there is no timepiece. He doesn't have a timepiece, or He shuts us off, because he's too busy with something else. Only for us in the physical is there time. And also, once we're born into that family of God, time, no limits on us as well. We can look forward to. So we have our Heavenly Father that we can go to. That being said, we are able to approach our Father at any time. No appointment needed, or standing in line awaiting our turn. You know, we do not have to go in and take a number off a hook as we wait to approach our Heavenly Father. Just fantastic that we can do that. And as we heard in the sermon, that God is always there for us. He's willing to look out for us. And he's always there. So number one was dial in the correct number. Number two, you must believe that he exists. You must believe he's at the other end of the line, that God does exist. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. where Christ is mentioning here. Christ speaking, John 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So Christ is saying, you know, if you believe in him and you believe that God the Father sent him, we can have everlasting life. So we have to believe in God the Father. Believe that he sent his son. You know, he is there. We are not patched into a computer that comes on with questions about, if you want this, press this digit. If you want this, press this digit. You know, we can connect directly to God the Father. But we have to believe in his word. We have to believe his word is inspired. All of God's word here is what we need. Must believe that in God's word here, these are not the words of just some man that was written down for some doctorate degree in theology or philosophy. No, these are the words of our Heavenly Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, another scripture with regards to how we must believe he exists. James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So it takes faith, believing that he exists, believing that we can approach him and ask him for wisdom, all wisdom that we do need. Number three now, we need to be extremely grateful, extremely grateful to keep the lines open. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And when Paul wrote this letter, it says over here in chapter 1 and verse 12 through 13, when he's writing to the Philippians, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. He was in prison when he wrote this letter. And he's saying, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thanks God. Be thankful. I just, every once in a while, I pick up a little history book that I have at home. It goes way back into the late 1950s, this book. It was given to me. My parents got it. It was a set of about, I think there's 10 volumes there. And it has to do with the history of the United States. And I just finished reading once again with regard to the Pilgrims after they came and settled there in the 1600s. They came in, I think, about the third year. They had a drought. They had a lot of corn seed. They put out the corn seed and everything, but they had a drought. It hadn't rained for months. And they called for a day of fasting and prayer of thanksgiving, the whole colony. They went in and fasted that day, and they went in and they also prayed. They were thankful for what God had did for them. At the end of the day, it started to rain. And it is recorded, it wasn't a hard rain. It wasn't thunder and lightning or wind. It was just a soft rain that started at the end of that day, after their day of fasting and praying. How God intervened. Because they had come to Him, were thankful, and called upon Him. It said it was the most beautiful rain they had. Because, you know, at times rain coming can be very hard and kind of washes the dirt away. And when it's been dry like that, it's like powder, maybe. But no, very gentle rain came. So we need to be thankful. Another scripture with regard to being thankful. Paul writes over here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. Through verse 18. Paul writes, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks." Even like we heard in the sermonette, when we have trials. "In everything," Paul says, "give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." As we heard earlier, our testing, Christ is trying to prove us. Give thanks that we are part of the body of Christ. And I know we can have some tough trials at times, but it's so wonderful to know the truth that we're going through. Just this a week ago today, I was down in Alabama at the hospital. As Helen and I, we had slept in the waiting room the previous evening there, because my brother was in the hospital. Brother-in-law was in the hospital. He had a heart attack 3 weeks ago. And my sister requested that we come down, so we went down. We were down there last week. Well, a week ago, yesterday, one of his brothers was there, and my sister and myself, we had to make the decision to take him off of life support. So that evening, Helen and I, we slept in the waiting room. They are not very comfortable, I tell you that, in the waiting room, because the doctor had said, well, he could live maybe up to 48 hours. So we were there, you know, during all this time to know the truth. It's wonderful, because there's going to be a resurrection for my brother-in-law. And when we got back to the house eventually on, we stayed there Saturday. Well, I guess we went back to the house Saturday afternoon, because his brother showed up again, so my sister and Helen and I were able to take a break. I showed her our scriptures that we use for the funeral that we subscribed to, you know, that I told her. I said, we will see Carl again. There is a resurrection. So, you know, these things that we're so blessed with, to be part of the family of God, to be able to know the truth, and to give thanks that we know that. Because we know that all are to die. Death will come to each and every one of us. So we can be grateful, giving thanks, as Paul says, always in all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now, and verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. Through 12. But we speak in the wisdom of God and mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is with God. And we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we know these things. God has revealed to us things, the truth about the future, about worshiping Him. And we can be so grateful, especially when you see how some of the people in the world, not having been called, do not know the truth. I forgot, for whatever reason, I went online and, well, I do too know now. I was watching a show, a travel show on PBS. And it had to do with this individual was in Montreal, Canada. And he was showing us St. Joseph Oratory of Mount Royal in Montreal, Canada. Now, what it is, it's a huge building. I think it says it's got the second largest dome on its roof after St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. It's a huge one. It's got about 100 steps up front of this. And like I said, St. Joseph. So it has to do with the Catholic Church there. Well, they have a saint there. And like I mentioned, there's 100 steps that go up to this cathedral-like thing, or oratory, I should say. These 100 steps are covered in wood. You know why the 100 steps are covered in wood? That is so people, when they're on their knees, are climbing these 100 steps for the healing of self or someone else. And they show inside this place where there's hundreds of canes are hanging there, supposedly of people who've been healed. And it showed an individual that day when this was filmed there. And this is over here in Montreal, Canada. He was on his knees going up these wooden steps. You know, they think that's how they need to approach God the Father for healing. But we know that it's only God that heals, not some statue, St. Joseph or whatever, that is there in the oratory. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4 through 7. Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. So we can see the loving kindness here as we read here in Titus 3, beginning verse 4 through 7. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Yes, we should be extremely grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for us. So number 3 was extremely grateful. What else do we need to keep that communication line open with God the Father? Number 4, humility. Number 4 is humility. Let's take a look over here at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 through 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 through 6. We read, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." You know, people are thinking, oh, what a wonderful being he must be or she. "But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So we go into that private place that we can have communication with our Father. And we do not need any distractions. I know when you become hard of hearing like I am, you know, I like a quiet place when I put that phone up to my ear so I can hear. I don't like to do it in public place where there's music or anything like that. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. We have another scripture with regard to humility. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Where we read, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Have humility with God the Father, and to do justly and mercy as well. Then we'll take a look over here at Luke chapter 18 with regard to humility. Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14. "And he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as a tax collector.'" Well, we see here, as it says, the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. He's looking at himself. He wasn't looking to God. He didn't have humility. And I believe you could understand that to mean God wasn't hearing him. You know, he was just saying the words. He was not connected with God. Goes on here with this Pharisee. He says, "I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." You know, he's really telling God there what all he does, how great he is. "And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.'" This individual recognized that he was a sinner, that he was not perfect. "I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than another. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So we have to have humility, asking God to help us if we do not have humility. But it's hard for someone who doesn't have humility to see that he doesn't have it. But as we heard in the sermonette, God will test us. God will prove us what our mental is. And Christ also talks about the Pharisees over here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23 through 24. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law." You know, they were sure that they did the proper amount of tithing on everything, but they neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are justice and mercy and faith. "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." In other words, oh, they looked, make sure they had all the details. And recall, that's why Christ was so upset with them, because they had added so many things of their own to what was required to be righteous. And Christ says here, we're not to add or subtract from His Word with requiring righteousness. Not to add or subtract. So we've looked at humility now. Number five, obedience is a vital condition to keep that line of communication open with God. Obedience is a vital mission. Know what the Apostle John wrote to us over in his first letter, first epistle, 1 John 3 and verse 22. It's interesting when you read these epistles of John, he being a senior there, he talks to the rest of us as children. But this is what John wrote in 1 John 3 and verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So what we know to do, we have to do. So we must be obeying the Ten Commandments and other commandments. We have to be keeping the holy days in order to understand His plan of salvation. For example, going to the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, we go there 7 days. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. But there is that eighth day feast. All day is that eighth day feast. And over the years, been to, I think, 50 of them now. I've seen people leave at the end of the AM service to head back for whatever reason. No, it doesn't end at 12 noon or when that first service is over. That holy day is until sunset. It is the eighth day feast. And getting to the Feast of Tabernacles, you know, go ahead and plan to get there earlier than just an hour before sunset. Because there are things that can come up. And we'll plan to get there earlier than before the sunset. For it is holy time, from a time the setting of the sun until the setting of the sun the following day. It is time that God has called us to appear before Him. He wants us to come before Him on the weekly Sabbath and these holy days. It's a commanded assembly. Now, at times there might be an ox in the dish, something that comes up. It's like weekly Sabbath. I was spending it in the hospital. I know, not able to attend with brothers and sisters down in Birmingham, Alabama at that time. But we're privileged to understand the meaning of the eighth day. Once again, we need to go back and look at what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And the faith chapter. For as the writer says here, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We have to have faith. And when God gives us His holy days, they're for us. And we must obey. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We have to diligently be seeking Him. Number six. We have to confess our sins before God. Confess our sin. Need to know where we're going wrong. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 through 3. Turn over there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 59 1 through 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversely. So we have to confess our sins so God will hear us. And it's too bad that this nation, for now, is not doing that. Even though President Trump did call for a day of prayer the day after he visited Houston, Texas, with the flood. I don't know how many of you knew that, but he had called for a day of prayer the following day. He was there on a Sabbath, and the following day he called for a day of prayer. You didn't hear it, did you, on the news, that he had called for that? But he had called, but our nation does not turn to God at this time. So that is why we're seeing what we are seeing in this nation. Because we are not turning to God, following a God. In other words, like the things with the problem with all these men, supposedly, well, not supposedly, they are, you know, their sexual advances towards women. And they seem to wonder, well, when did this start? Well, let's go back in the U.S. history. Where did this idea come? Didn't it come out of Hollywood itself? I think back of the movie From Here to Eternity. You know, it showed adultery way back then. Whenever that movie was made, I think it was made in the 50s. You know, black and white. And they've encouraged it. And the U.S. population has accepted it in the soap operas, their movies, comedy clubs, whatever. And then they wonder, well, why is this such a problem now? Well, we reap what we sow. And God, you know, cannot hear a nation. So we're on that road to the return of Jesus Christ. Chapter of 11 of Luke. Luke 11 and verse 4. Luke 11 and verse 4. Where we must also do this in order for our own sins to be forgiven. Luke 11 verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So we have to forgive other people in order for our own sins to be forgiven. If we are not forgiving others, then our sins cannot be forgiven. So our condition for God to hear our prayers, you know, are restricted. We have a break in that line. Over here in Mark 11 and verse 25 through 26. Emphasis once again on forgiveness. Christ says here in the book of Mark, chapter 11, verse 25, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespass. So we see then, there's that formula. We want to keep the lines open. We have to forgive others in order for God to forgive us. Because as he said in Isaiah, you know, your sins will separate you from me. So we want to keep communications open. We have to be forgiving others so that we may be forgiven of our sins and he can hear our prayers. Number seven, you have had this communication with God the Father. Number seven is look for the answer from God the Father. Look for the answer from Him. And that would be study His Word. Study His Word. Be surprised how often the answer to your prayer is found in God's Word. Seek it out. John chapter 15 and verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7, where we read, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." In other words, we have to be studying God's words in order for His words to be abiding within us. Once again, let's go back to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 through 15. 1 John 5, 14 through 15. "Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked Him." So, John is saying we can have this confidence if we're doing things according to His will, and that would be studying His Word, knowing more about our Heavenly Father. By studying, we will know our Father's will. We'll know the answers. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. You just may have heard this proverb before that I have brought out. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." You know, this is one of the scriptures I look to. And here's the answer. As Mr. Dunham said in the sermonette, you know, how someone gets so far financially in debt with a car or a house. Did they go to enough counselors to counsel beforehand? Now that what God says here. "In a multitude of counselors, there is safety." We need to counsel. May not just come from our own ideas, but He's saying, look in His Word, study His Word, talk to other individuals before making decisions. So we have studied today on how to keep the communication lines open. Number one was dialing in the correct number. We need to go to God the Father. That is who our prayers are to go to. Number two, we must believe He exists. Believe that God exists, and He does hear our prayers. Number three, be extremely grateful in all things and thanksgiving. Number four, we need humility and approach God. Number five, obedience is a vital condition. Number six, we must confess our sins. And number seven, look for the answer. All these in order to keep the line of communication open.